News Talk, hour two for a Monday. 651-989-5855 is the phone number. Leave a talk back via the iHeart radio app. Special counsel Jack Smith has indicted Trump in the Southern District of Florida to avoid the appearance of forum shopping, according to a longtime Miami defense attorney. Also, the indictment taking place in Florida, given the fact that the judge, Eileen Cannon, who Trump appointed to the bench in the Southern District in 2020, has reportedly been assigned to the case. He may have gotten a break in that regard as well. She earlier handled motions for Trump's legal team during the investigation into the allegedly classified documents stored at Mar-a-Lago and made several key rulings favorable to the former president. For example, she is the one who appointed the special master to oversee the FBI investigation into those documents at Trump's request. Joining us right now, very pleased to welcome to the show, lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien. Good morning, sir. There we go. Now I got you. Good morning. All right. So as we dive into this, Jeff, we'll just start off here, and I kind of just want to get your instinctive reaction to all of it. And, you know, as I typically do when we've got issues like this, like, what sticks out the most to you? What do you find most interesting based on your own personal background?
Well, a couple of things, John. You just mentioned about, you know, Trump's going to have a favorable, seemingly a favorable judge there in Florida. So I have no doubt that, you know, he's going to get his day in court, and his attorneys will make his defense, and we'll see how that all plays out. I am concerned. I mean, if he broke the law, then, you know, he should be held to the same standard as anybody else, the same standard that you and I would be.
Right.
As long as everybody else in a similar position is. So you mentioned earlier on the show the Hillary emails, and we know that they found documents in the garage where Biden keeps his Corvette. And, you know, Mike Pence even apparently had some documents. So to the extent that everybody that's an elected official or former elected official that's running around with classified documents is held to the same standard, so be it. I think the timing is interesting that it's on the day when we're talking about, you know, bribery allegations against the sitting president that his Department of Justice rolls out this indictment. But lawyers, you know, that's all a matter of, you know, timing. If they think they have a case, they think they have a case. But here's what I get to, John. If I'm Trump's lawyer, this is my question. What were you thinking? I mean, if you leave office knowing you've got a bullseye on your back, knowing you're going to run for office again, why do you make it so easy for them to come after you?
Right.
I just don't understand it.
Well, and I mean, and that raises several questions, right? And I know that, like, I got a couple of different of opinion pieces here. You had forwarded me a few. I had the Wall Street Journal one. I'll dive into that here in a bit after we're done talking. But, like, the one that I thought was really interesting was former Representative Barney Frank. Yeah. You know, who says it's a mistake to indict Trump. He says he thinks the documents were moved to Trump's properties in a move that it was self-indulgent and sloppy. I would like him to explain why he did it. My guess is that there were embarrassing things in there. For example, his love affair with the dictator of North Korea, says, you know, Barney Frank, he's no fan of Trump, which he recently affirmed. But there's no allegation that the American national security was harmed by this and what the intent was. And I'm seeing a lot of this pointing to the same sort of thing you're asking of, well, why would he do this? And I guess in my mind, it brings up, well, it may have been sloppy, and that could have been the case. Maybe Trump wasn't aware. Ignorance is no excuse. And also, the other documents that we know, other presidents, VPs, and as people said when the first Mar-a-Lago raid happened, you know, attorney generals, might have just been par for the course for somebody, you know, leaving their position to end up with these types of documents in their possession.
Right. Right. And that's the wild card here is you have a former president who's running again. Normally when a president loses an election, they ride off into the sunset, right? And they probably have documents in their possession because they're putting them together for their presidential library. And I think that's part of the issue here is that this situation's never presented itself in modern history is what happens when they leave office with, you know, documents, but they're also going to come back and be a candidate again. I agree. You know, when he says that they're going after me because I'm running again. If he wasn't running again, I doubt any of this would be happening. But you know, it is what it is. He's running, and I agree. The Barney Frank one is interesting. I think he also said in there that they just he didn't see anything in the indictment that suggested that national security had been compromised.
Right.
I recall if Barney Frank was either on the Intelligence Committee or the Judiciary, chaired the Judiciary Committee when he was in Congress. So that's, and again, you know, you mentioned, John, he's no fan of Donald Trump. So when Barney Frank says, I don't know why I question this indictment, I think that's an opinion that needs to be listened to.
How much of what we're talking about, and for lack of a better way to word it, you know, the nuance of all of this, the ancillary factors in all of this. I mean, how much of this could potentially play into the judge who is overseeing this case? As I read in another editorial that I have for later on, another piece on this. I mean, these are 37 counts, and he'll have to run the table on all of these because they all carry, you know, significant jail time or a dollar amount attached to it. So how much of these things that we're talking about could weigh in and potentially legally weigh into how the judge, works this case?
Well, I think the judge is going to apply a significant amount of scrutiny to the DOJ side of this and their claims, but that's what judges do in criminal cases, right? Is they're supposed to scrutinize the prosecution and make sure that things are being brought legitimately and that there's actually a case there. So, I think part of it's going to depend upon how Trump's legal team responds to this. You know, if there's motions to dismiss, if there's actions taken that the judge has to rule upon, we'll get a better understanding of where she stands on this. But like you said earlier, she already appointed a special master to oversee the FBI investigation. So I do think she's viewing herself as a check and balance on federal law enforcement, federal investigators here.
You know, and I know a lot of people are pointing this direction, and I'll just kind of raise the question, and it's more just of a, you know, and I don't necessarily need an answer to it, Jeff, but it's just my thought process on this is, let's just say for the sake of argument that Trump ends up, you know, getting convicted on some of these, and he ends up having to serve jail time. And as you said, and I agree with you, you know, nobody should be above the law. Everybody should be held accountable to the letter of the law. But I think you and I both know that the other individuals who may have done similar things or worse, and we've already seen this in the past, are not going to be held accountable. Where does that leave us as a country moving forward? I mean, you've basically all but confirmed the two-tier system of justice, and I don't see how any of that benefits us as a nation.
No, but I think the more important issue, I think this was covered in the Wall Street Journal editorial we were talking about, is this is now setting a new standard. We're now going to have partisan weaponization of law enforcement and of the DOJ, where, okay, now if the Republicans get back in charge, are they going to do this to Biden because Biden did it to Trump? I mean, it's where does this end? You know, everybody talks about us becoming a banana republic. This is the kind of stuff that leads that way. When you start having, you know, the sitting president and his administration going after a political opponent, whether it be past or present or future, regardless of which side, you know, that's we've kind of lost the system that the founders created. And so that's what is most concerning to me, is this is going to draw a response, and we're now going to get tit for tat every time, you know, the White House changes hands.
If the White House changes hands, right?
Yeah,
that's
true.
You know, and that's where the other concern, the big concern that I have rests. Jeff O'Brien, thank you for the time this morning. Always great talking with you. I appreciate it. And we'll talk again real soon. All right, buddy.
Sounds good. Thanks, John.